Turn in your Bibles tonight to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, we'll begin with verse 1. What we've been doing on Wednesday nights, and this is the seventh of the things that we've done in the series, is we've talked about the necessary qualities, the desirable qualities, the essential qualities that should be in you as you serve the Lord and assist in the ministry of the Word of God. And we've talked about six of those so far. This will be the seventh tonight. But we've talked that people should be diligent and faithful and teachable and spirit-filled and charitable as an example. And tonight we want to talk about humility. Humility. Should be humble. It's necessary in order to be able to be very effective in the work of the ministry. When we're young, and I went through this when I first entered the ministry, there is in us a zeal, which should be there, but there's also an ambition. And ambition and zeal aren't the same thing. An ambition, you want to really do something that's going to count for God, but it's hard to separate yourself from the success of that goal that you have. And what happens then is sometimes it becomes the cause of attracting attention to yourself. That's pride. And it gets in the way of what God's trying to do through you to minister the Word of God to other people. We got to get ourselves out of the way, and the way to do that is through humility. Through humility. So in Philippians chapter 2, Jesus Christ is the one that demonstrated in His own life the humility that was necessary for Him to be able to do what He did when He was ministering here all the way through His death, burial, and resurrection. Verse 1, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he did what? He humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And then we see that God exalted him. That passage of Scripture that you just read is filled with much to say. I mean, to do the passage justice, we could easily preach 45 minutes and expound the text. But tonight, we just want to glean from it that humility that Jesus Christ had and the admonition in verse 5, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Let this mind be in you. If that mind of humility that was in the Lord Jesus Christ is in us, and we are not here to make a reputation for ourselves, we take upon ourselves the form of a servant, we're not doing anything through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, esteeming other better than ourselves, you know what? We're going to be very effective as we work together in the ministry to minister to others, within the church and without the church. And it's very important to do that. We're people in human bodies, and we have to wrestle with ourselves all the time. Somebody might say, I've got a better idea how this should be done, and then they become pretty boisterous, pretty adamant about it. It creates conflict. What we really want to do is find out how God wants it done and get it done that way. And if we have a lowliness of mind, if we have humility, if we're esteeming other better than ourselves, we're a lot less likely to go into strife, to draw attention to ourselves, to demand that we get our own way, and a lot easier for the Holy Spirit to work in us to accomplish what He wants to do without being grieved by our attitude. That humility is essential. And once it's in there, and it's in us, I'm saying as a church, he's writing to a church, it's in us, and it's in our relationships with each other. You know, there's something that happens to you. You realize that God's way really is a better way. You realize that you didn't have to demand your own way, because God, when he sees people humble and serving him, has a tendency to work in spite of us to get the job done. And you're like, you marvel. Look what God did. And the only person in the room then that gets the glory is God himself. And that's who we want to get glory. It's just like Brother Neil said in the brief testimony of the ministry. We want to see souls saved, but we want to see God get the glory. And what they're doing, they could easily say, look at all we're doing, but that's not an attitude that brings glory to God. Isn't that something? So always remember that, and listen. And I say that like I'm looking in the mirror. You listen, preacher. Because we live in these bodies, we're going to constantly have to keep our own way, our own ambition, and our own pride in check. You're always going to have to do that and be reminded. Let me just humble myself here, let God work through the situation and bring himself glory and get this job done. So when you do that without seeking, you know, vain glory, when you do it in lowliness of mind and esteem other better than yourselves, you really do find something to be true. You've heard the acrostic. I'll mention it to you again. The word J-O-Y spells joy. And the acrostic is, in order of priority, Jesus, others, yourself. And you keep that in mind, and it makes things go so well when we work together to accomplish the task God wants us to do. Humility. It's essential. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. Godly, faithful, diligent, teachable, charitable. Spirit-filled and humble. What a combination. What a combination. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. This is in a passage where Peter has been addressing elders, shepherds, teachers, people feeding the flock. Verse 5, likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject to whom? Verse 5, yea, all of you be subject to whom? One to another. One to another. You know, it's easy to say, oh, I don't mind being subject to you, or I don't mind being subject to you. I have great respect, but I don't want to be subject to you. Right? And he said, just be subject one to another. Look at this. And be clothed with what? Humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. When you humble yourself and God knows you've done that sincerely, and it's not a fake, feigned humility just so people will think you're being humble, when it's real, God gives grace to the humble. And that's important because it takes a lot of grace to be humble in these bodies and with these minds. But you see what the other side is? God resisteth the proud. We really, really don't want God working against us when we're trying to work for him. We want him working through us and helping us. And he said, here is the recipe. Humble yourself. Clothe yourself with humility. It's not about you. It's about God. It's not about me, it's about y'all. And that helps. Verse 6, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you when? In due time. And you know how long that's going to be from now? It's going to be a while yet, because we're still serving Jesus Christ didn't get that exalted name until after the death, burial, and resurrection. Now he's up there. Now he has the exalted name. They didn't think much of him while he was here on the earth ministering, did they? But boy, that name today, what a lovely name, the name of Jesus. Highly exalted above every name. So he gives us grace when we humble ourselves, and frankly, to do anything that God wants us to do, we need his grace, so we need to be clothed with humility. You will get exalted when it's time to be exalted, and frankly, we can't handle it before the due time. After the judgment seat of Christ, when he says, well done, thou good and faithful servant, and here's that reward, okay, then. And then it will be justified, because the work will be done. Verse 7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil as a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Do you know we have an adversary who does not want us to cooperate together to get anything done for God? He's very real, and he's also been very successful. Lots of churches have gone through great strains and trouble with splits because the devil gets involved. And you know how Paul told us, don't give any place to him. We're not ignorant of his devices. But you know how he'll do it? He'll get in when that humility goes out. When all of a sudden somebody it's about me and how I feel about this and, you know, blah, blah, blah. Then trouble's going to start because he's got an anchor hold, right? I see some heads nodding. You know, you've experienced it. And then what happened? He infiltrates. And the Lord said, if you want to be protected from that devil, you've got to resist him. And the way to resist him is to remain humble. A preacher told me one time, many, many years ago, he said, you know, in humility, you get down, right? In lowliness of mind. Is that not right? Humility is down. It's lowly, like Jesus Christ when he talked about his yoke, meek and lowly in heart, low. If you get down as low as you can go, the devil can't knock you down any further. You're already flat on your face. Well, that's such good counsel. That's such good counsel. Turn to James chapter 4, which is the chapter right before this. And notice the connection of humility and that protection against the devil. Look at verse 6, James chapter 4, verse 6. But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. That resistance against the devil that Peter wrote about, that James wrote about, begins with humility and submission to God. And once you humble yourself and you submit yourself to God, guess who has to fight the battle? Years ago, a preacher was visiting a fellow that was in a terminal, not like cancer, it was a long-term terminal thing that he had. Thing is a good word. When you can't think of the word you're looking for. And so he was in this facility till he died. And the preacher would go to visit him from time to time, and he said, do you ever get discouraged here? He said, yeah. He said, yes. And he said, does the devil ever come in here? He said, absolutely. When I'm discouraged, you know, come in here. He said, how do you handle that? I say, God, I can't take him on. You do it. And he said, and God does it every time. Can you imagine being in a situation like that for the rest of your life? That's how you handle it. I think that's real good instruction for us. We are in doing something for the Lord. We are going to encounter. You don't wear the whole armor of God as a showpiece and an ornament. There is a real fight, the fight of faith. And we do have an adversary, and he said, look, if you don't want what he can do to destroy what we're attempting to do for Christ, stay low. Be humble. Submit yourself to God. Be in subjection one to another. Do what you do in lowliness of mind. Be clothed humility, and you can continue in the ministry, and that'll work. Those are Those seven things that are essential characteristics and qualities in good ministers of Christ: faithful, diligent, godly, teachable, humble, spirit-filled, and charitable. What a combination. And all of those have been given to us to protect us and also to make us more effectual in the work that we do for the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we do it that way, God no doubt gets the glory because nobody else could take it. Everybody's staying down. Isn't that wonderful? Such great instruction. I'm thankful to the Lord that He's shown us these things in the Scripture. Let's have a word of prayer and then we're going to take some prayer requests. Father, thank You tonight for a much needed admonition from the Word of God to help us. Father, our church's desire is to be able to do like what's coming up with the gospel brunch and what we do for missions and other things, Lord, to be able to do it together and to be able to do it in a way that You're pleased and do it in a way that it's effectual. Help us to remember the things we've learned in these seven Wednesday nights when we've talked about these qualities, and help us, Father, to be disciplined to do these things that You've shown us to do, to be these qualities that You've given us to do. Thank You, Father, that these are supernatural things we didn't put into ourselves. These are things that You've given us as Your children. Help us to rely upon You continually and to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ so these things become more and more the qualities that are in us, more so than the qualities that You found in us the day You saved us. And we ask You to do these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.